It is 6:30, and I call this meeting of the City Council of Petersburg today, January 9th, 2018. Happy New Year to everybody.
And we hope to one announcement, Gilbert's father's taken a bad health turn,
so he
will not be here tonight.
Okay. We'll keep him in our prayers as so we call this meeting to order. And we'll start off with our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father God, giving you praise and glory for this beautiful day. Thank you, Father God, for allowing us to be here one more time to start off this 2018 year. Father, we just ask that you be with each and every one of us as we make decisions for our town. Father God, that we take the interests of our citizens into account first and foremost with your guidance. Father God, we just ask that you bless each and every one in the city of Petersburg, Father God. As we heard, we ask for Gilbert's father, that you be with him and all of his family. We ask for all the people, Father God, that we know there's a lot of sickness going around in this town and around the communities, that you be with each and every one of us. And Father God, once again, we just praise and glorify you for all that we do, and we're able to do that under your direction. I ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the first thing that we need to do is open the public hearing for the county community development block grant, and it is 6:32, and I open the floor for any public comment.
Everybody in the room has to sign this sheet.
Are you warm?
Yes, warm.
This public hearing is held to review the outcome of water improvement construction and sewer improvement construction. So if there's any comments.
Seeing as there are no comments, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing, and it is 6:33. And then we'll move on to the announcements, to the first item on the agenda, which is our announcements. And it is one announcement is the first day to apply for a place on the May 2018 City Council election ballot is January the 17th, 2018. Places up for re-election are the council seat of Wayne Mullinax, council seat of Rosa Marroquin, and the mayor seat of Susie Martinez.
And February 13th.
The next council meeting will be on February the 13th.
And Kayla, what's the cutoff date for them to sign up?
I think it's February 16th.
The deadline for the application for the election will be February the 16th at 5 p.m. Moving on to item two of the agenda, is the public comments agenda. If there is anybody here that is wanting to make a public comment, right today, right now is the time to do it. And feel free to speak up. Seeing as there is no public comments. I will close the public comment section as of right now. Moving on to item 3 on the agenda, and it is our report, and I will skip over Officer Thurman's report first. And we will move on to the Public Works, since Randy has some stuff to go do.
Yes, thank you.
As you can see in the report, it's been a busy couple of months. We've had several water meters that have froze up due to this cold weather, changing them out, busted pipes on people's houses, they calling us, and we're cutting their meters off. I got one on Sunday, water just pouring out from underneath the residence, and I went over and cut that meter off. Nobody ever notified me. Brandon drove by, or somebody called him and told him that the water was coming out from underneath, so we got it cut off just to save them. The big one that I'm probably most proud of on here is that item number 39, compliance with TCQ on comprehensive compliance investigation. We received, I took the information on, I believe it was on the 18th of December, to Lubbock, on the, and what it was the daily chlorine residuals results.
Right.
And anyway, we kept up with them, and I took the copy of that to them and spoke with the investigator herself, and we received a letter saying that we'd received that they'd received adequate compliance, so that had been resolved.
Good. Okay, great. So. Do we have any questions for Randy on any item?
No, but I do thank you for working on the potholes.
Definitely.
I thought I was going to fall in one on the way to church and not get out. So, yeah,
that's good.
Is that the one on Jay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my. It was like, dodging the side snap.
Okay. All right. If there are no questions for Randy.
I just want to add one thing to the end. We do have a water line tunnel going underneath the bypass. As soon as the weather's just a hair better, maybe next week, we have finally found what we need to tap into the line. We're trying to do it in a way that doesn't shut anybody off. And that's been very difficult to figure out a way, but I think we're getting close. We've okay. got it isolated down to maybe only two residences we would have to shut down.
That would be on the south side, I would assume?
Or
that,
or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. On that note, you know, you see a lot of our surrounding communities that they're always on the news about being, having to boil water. I think we're so blessed and fortunate that we, as a town, don't see that. And so, thank y'all.
Well, yeah. Thanks.
It's true.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, now, sometimes it takes a yeoman to work because yeah. they'll work.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, there you yes. go, Kim.
They will work the line hot.
Yes.
And as long as the line stays pressurized, you don't have to worry about
it. Once we shut the whole system down or isolate that system to fix a leak, once you bring that system up, then you've got to have a boil water notice for everybody. We would prefer to work it where it's water's coming out at us, and that way we know when we've got it clamped off that it's clamped. And it's sealed off.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you all for your time and patience.
Thank you, Randy.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now we'll go back to item A, and that's our police department report brought to us by Chief Thurman.
Thank you, Mayor. We have 32 calls altogether. This is a combined of... over the holidays due to us not being have a council meeting last month. It's combined to 2 months of November and December. We had 32 calls total. We had 24 warnings and 16 citations for the 2 months.
I might add that Chief Thurman assisted in a pretty good drug bust in town during that time period.
Yeah, we've got more drugs out of there than I've seen in 10 years.
Here in town.
In town.
Mm-hmm.
It was due to a traffic stop and drugs around the vehicle. Oh.
That was...
Have any F?
Good one.
Have any F?
Yes, ma'am.
The stop, I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. That's,
I did too.
Great thought. I do. On the side stations, and not just month after month, you see, you know, a lot of the warnings, and that's great. Are any of these repeaters? I mean, you just see a lot of the no driver's license or...
Sometimes they are repeat offenders.
And do you give them a warning? I mean, are you like, is there some kind of protocol that you say, okay, we've done this a couple times and...
Well, yes, ma'am. Yes and no, because one that catch a person without a driver's license, no proof of insurance. We usually give them a break on the driver's license, write them for the insurance, and then they got to come and explain it to the judge why I don't got insurance, why I don't got a license. Sometimes we just go ahead and just write both of them and call it a day because we have repeat offenders on all of them. Mm-hmm.
Already discussed, and we'll move on to the next one. And that is our fire department with Chief TJ Marcus.
For the month of December, we had 6 calls. 3 were cotton strippers, and 3 were modules. And that's about it. This past weekend, Nathan and Shane went and assisted in the Cotton Center fire where the gin was. There was multiple departments from both Lubbock and Hale County there. So we thank those two gentlemen for taking time out of their Sunday going that far across county and working that. And that's been pretty quiet. Come February, I'll have y'all a full year's report with itemized by date and what the fire contenda or backups, and I'll get that. I'm on shift on the 13th, so I'll email that to Kayla and have that for y'all for February meeting.
Okay. Have y'all had any luck with the volunteers, with anyone?
No, we've...
Have you presented it like at school? I mean, I know a lot of, for example, the seniors this year, I mean, a few of them have already turned 18. I think that was without the age you said they had to be. Or does it matter?
Is there got like a junior program that we've had for years. Mm-hmm. At 16, they can join. Mm-hmm. But at 18, it's, you know, of course, it's where the logistics comes into play. We can put them on a truck and stick them out there. Right. And yeah, so at 18, they're ready to go. Can go out there and actually.
I'm just wondering if, you know, something with the school, especially if they can start at an early age. You know, right now I think our school is trying to get these kids involved in different areas. Yeah. So
I spoke with Dr. Howard briefly. At that last presentation we had at the cafeteria, when was it?
Back in November, I think.
Yeah, November or something like that. I spoke with him about it. And we're trying to work a time that I know it's kind of hard for the seniors that are fixing to leave because they got a short span. But trying to speak to kids that are 15 that will move into 16 age and see if we can get some of them in. And at the same time, try to get some of the juniors and seniors that may show interest in it, that, you know, we can bring them in at the same time and kind of give them a little rundown. You know, we do our in-house training on that and kind of maybe guide them into the direction.
Especially those who are going to stay.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard part. You know, a lot of them say, yeah, I'll help. And then, of course, it's hard with, especially if they're real athletic, you know, because, you know, that's... Mm-hmm. You know, and then years back when Stephen was a senior, there were a handful of them that volunteered. And I think Stephen, Orlando, Martin, and geez, I can't remember, 4 or 5 of them. But they went and spoke to the principal at the time, and they actually allowed them anytime after lunch, I believe, that, you know, as long as their grades were
they did respond to leave school.
And they were allowed to leave and respond and help us out. So, you know, that helped out a lot. So we're going to try to schedule a good day to meet and try to see, work on something to present. It'll be toward the end of the school year, but it'll be pushing into next academic year is what we'll go to.
I mean, you never know. You know, somebody might really be interested and decide to stay. You know.
Yeah, you know, out of that program, you know, we got, you know, Orlando went off and, you know, now he's flight medic. And he's in charge of his own base out there. And Stevens in, you know, he's in Lubbock now. So, you know, that was, you know, pretty, you know, encouraging for us. But, yeah, you know, if, so, you know, we've tried, you know, we've been on Facebook, we've put it out there. We spoke to people. Some of the guys come in, they're like, yeah, they'll talk. And it's like, well, I don't know if I really want that, you know. So it's hard.
It's a commitment.
It, it is. It's hard, you know.
Not only with your time, but, with, you know, with everything. Training. And,
you know, years back, you know, when majority of the department worked at Wiley's, it worked out perfect for us. You know, when I first come on, it was 20. We had 20 members, and probably 50 to 60% of us worked at Wiley's. And then Scott, you know, he's always, anybody that's on the department that works for him is allowed to leave on the clock and still get paid. So, you know, there was times that, you know, there was at least half of us worked at Wiley's. And as the years gone by, people had left or, you know, moved to, out of town. And now I think there's, I don't think we have anybody that works at Wiley's on the department right now. Of course, a lot of them are from out of town anyway. So, it, you know, but, you know, we're willing to take anybody that's willing to help. You know, I know it's hard. It's, you know, there's, you know, it's, you know, we don't offer any, you know, benefits other than, you know, maybe, well, they have workman's comp insurance just in case they get hurt, you know, but, you know, we do get a little stipend for runs, but other than that, you know, we don't have anything to offer them to encourage them, I guess you could say. You know, we've had people ask, well, what do we y'all get? Well, nothing, you know.
It's what's a volunteer.
Yeah, and, you know.
That's what a volunteer is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Man, see, that's the deal with the fire side. It's starting to push toward the same thing that's happened to EMS over since the 80s. You know, they're pushing toward certification, so now a lot of people are saying, well, I don't want to do that certification, you know. So, you know, it's now the volunteers, and it's not just Petersburg, Abernathy, the health center, halfway, you know, a lot of them places are having, you know, New Deal, Shallow Water, all that, they're in the same boat.
But do you guys have to go to A&M for training?
We can go, but then it all comes back to our budget. You know, do we have the
I didn't know if they had
to. Do we have the finances to go?
I didn't know if they had to go train or not down there. Yeah. The reason I was asking.
If we do go to A&M, it is 100% reimbursement, and all the classes are $1,000 to $1,200 a piece. We pay for that up front. Once the member completes the course, he gets a printout. We submit that printout to the Forest Service, and we get that grant. It's a grant that we apply for, and then we get that tuition back for us.
Okay.
So now we're out, you know, transportation, room and board, and meals at that point.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Chief Marcus. Moving on to our other report, it's our EMS department, and our administrator, Matt Carter.
Thanks for having me. For the month of December, we have 4 calls. One of those calls went to Covenant Lubbock. One of those calls went to UMC. One, we needed a paramedic, so we transferred off with Abernathy, and one was a no transport. We got our course approval number for our class, which is makes it official in the state, and you're allowed to legally really advertise and interview and do whatever you need to do. I got about 7 calls today since SPEM started advertising. Unfortunately, no one was from Petersburg, but we had 2 from Idaloo. That might end up being kind of beneficial, and we started an interview process for Petersburg applicants. So, it's looking promising. I hope to have at least 10 to 20 people in the class and, you know, where it directly benefits this place.
Now, the you said you had some applicants from Ivalu.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the course that we're going to offer, is it going to be here in town?
Yes,
is
ma'am.
It, okay.
Yes, it'll be here in town. My goal with the class, and, you know, Ron as well, is to get Petersburg people to take it.
Right.
You know, I don't want to... There's a lot of people in the smaller towns that need it as well. I mean, they're in the same boat. They need this certification. So, you know, it's extended to them as well, but the general focus is for Petersburg.
Right. But like our those the idle people, they would pay...
Oh, yeah. They're going to pay.
Okay. They're,
yeah, yeah. They're not going to be...
We're going to charge them tuition
yep.
for,
yes,
for
ma'am.
Taking that course.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. But and our Petersburg people would probably have a scholarship as
there's
going to
be select few.
Okay. Yeah. We council authorized that last year, and I would say just with maybe one exception, let's say you have a person in Idaho, and they say, we will come over and sit at the station as our on-call time, etc. Well, then we will treat them as if they're a Petersburg person, but if they're not willing to be in town for their on-call time, then it doesn't make a lot of sense to us.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular course has been set this time for ECA certification, not EMT also. So we need drivers that are certified so we can fully charge for the runs that we do make. And classes start January 23rd and held at the community center.
Okay.
And generally 2 days a week.
Generally.
Some weeks three.
And it'll be, you know, we're looking to have certified by the end of April. That's the goal for me. Give them a minute to study, give them a chance to get in there. There is timelines that you have to follow, but we're gonna put in a lot of extra time. Anything that they need, I'll be available 24/7. The books come with online instructional guides. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't want people to fail, obviously. So we're going to really push it hard, and I'll do whatever it takes to get some people certified.
So, and refresh my memory, because I know we've talked about this before. Have we talked to the school? Like, you know, and also, what is the age limit? What is the...
Well, you know,
are there any
there's
potential?
A lot of liability, 18 to 21, as far as driving. I mean, a lot of insurances don't even let 18-year-old drive, you know, city vehicles and things like that. You have to have a diploma to take the test. So if it were somebody at the end of their senior year or that's a senior right now, I mean, if they can get through fill out the application and get interviewed and there's someone that, you know, is going to at least be around for a year or two, it would be something to entertain. But it's just that's persons driving around people, so you know you want to make sure you have a dependable driver. That's the main thing, and there's just not a lot of experience from 16 to 18, especially
right.
in this area, you know. But I wouldn't turn them down if they can do the job, then they can do it. We've had 18-year-olds before that did great, so and you know, and they offered as a high school course in bigger schools,
right?
So you know, we could work out something with high school kids.
You should have all received the letter where we started soliciting.
Yeah, so if they come in, they get through the interview process, there's no... As long as they have their diploma, that's what they have to have. So, or GED, you know, obviously.
Okay.
So.
Do we have any more questions for Matt?
So they have to have a high school diploma?
Or GED.
So then that would not... Our seniors would not... fall into that.
Yeah, they can test out after May.
They can test out after.
Yeah. Well, after, but as of right now, they even
if
they're 18.
Yeah, they
wouldn't
be able to certify till the minute they have their...
But that'd only be 30-35 days.
That's not too much longer, so it would fall under the timeline to take your test.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I mean, they could take the course, but then as soon as they're... they get their diploma, then they
yeah, they can go test out.
Okay,
right.
Matt, I'm sorry. Can I ask you a question? Sure. I was asked today what day they needed to have their applications in by.
I would like to have them by the end of the week or the middle of next week. I mean, if it comes down to the day before the class and we're still going through it, you know, we can. There's ways to move things around, but I would prefer to have them interviewed by next week so we can make a decision by Friday next week. So as soon as possible, really. But by next Friday is when we need to. Have made some decision. If there's some late ones, you know, I'll get a hold of state and make adjustments if necessary. We need people in town, so I'll do whatever it takes, and I'll bend and break whatever I can to get people in. So I'll make whatever phone calls and write whatever letters needs to happen. But yeah, as soon as possible, next Friday would be a good day to decide.
Thank you, Matt, for that report. Next item would be the library report, and I guess Lacey's here.
I'll give one minor one for her. We did get all the lights in and replaced before their Christmas tape.
Okay, good.
So
yeah,
they seem to have been pleased.
Good deal. Okay, we've already done that. Okay, our final report will be our city manager's report. Presented by Ron.
Okay. Sales tax year-to-date, we're still running ahead of where we were a year ago, so it's nice to see that the trend is finally leveled out and is not declining. On the water sales, we are behind year-to-date, but I saw two people watering today. I actually started my water up a little bit, so it's pretty dry. So I would expect to see a turn on the, around on that pretty quick here if the weather stays warmer. And this year, this time of year, it's real hard to tell what you're going to get. On ad valorem, we're 51.36% collected. That's just down slightly from a year ago and way up over 2 years ago, so we're in good shape there. Nothing unusual. On stray dogs and cats, I had a meeting that Randy and I did with a pest control company that we are exploring the opportunity of having them come in. We haven't determined the frequency yet, and we don't know the cost yet, but they are trying to source the darts to use to tranquilize. So we'll have them come in the evenings, and we'll tranquilize the dogs, pick them up, the cats pick them up, they will take the dogs to Plainview. We do have a home for all the cats that's at a non-kill place, but that's by taking them to feedlots. And the feedlots love to have them all looking to be rodent control. I don't know the cost yet, so what I worked out with these guys, two brothers, I said, we're going to try it, we're going to see what we get. We're going to see what your cost is, and we'll see if that makes it sensible to us. But we've got several dogs around here that are real good about running. They know when they see you. You try to get to them. Well, the dart guns will solve that problem. So that's what we're working on at the present time on that.
Have we had very many...
And I tried to get them over the weekend, but we couldn't get it done this last week.
Complaints on loose dogs as far as like
we get them regularly.
Oh, a day.
I know I've had a couple of citizens that have caught me at also and said, can we do something about the?
They're awful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially there's a one pit bull that they're really concerned about.
Well, it's like the Wiley dog that we know that's 7, 8, 9
baby.
Litters. Well, we'll get her with the tranquilizer again. She'll stay away from you. Can't get to her, but she's close enough range you can do that. And the big thing is going to be when we do this. This is a very humane way to do it. Okay, it just puts them down. They come out of it probably by the time we get them to the vet. But they're also having to make sure they got the right loads to put in these particular darts. So hopefully within a week or two we'll have a run at it. EMS professional liability, the renewal came up. I went ahead and authorized Joe Bob to renew it. It came in at $7,035. We had budgeted $8,085, so we come in $1,050 lower, which is great. And then again, just on the EMS classes with Matt, we will have several city workers that are going to be taking that. Because one of the things during the day is most difficult for EMS here because people that even they volunteer work out of town.
Right.
So Brandon is filled in to drive. Randy has, Brandon's officers have. We're going to try and get as many as we can certified in this so they can help out.
And I meant to ask Randy or maybe even you, where do we stand with adding another... some more help for Randy.
More help started last Monday, yesterday.
Okay.
David Watson, and we're thrilled to have him on board and full-time position replaced Josh's position.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw them filling holes today.
Yes, I bet you did. Good.
Good deal.
He's a local?
Yes, I'm married to Julie, who works for Kevin right here in the grocery store.
Oh, yeah, okay, I know who that is. Definitely. Awesome.
Do we have
it
anything?
Took us a while to negotiate, but we got there.
Well, good. Any questions? If not, we'll move on. We'll go ahead and close the reports section. And we'll move on to item 4 on the agenda, and that's our agenda. And I think everybody has a copy of that. If there is... If there are any changes that you think we need to make, or any corrections...
I would add, Jill and I found one error that we're going to change. You had a large sum in miscellaneous sales. That was actually a tax receipt that we got. We got in the wrong category. So miscellaneous sales are not that high.
There's a new format in there for the AP and AR reports. I found that the computer does it automatically through our system. I don't have to sit there and hand type every check that we write.
And you've got us a copy of that.
It's in there. It looks like this. It looks really similar to the financials.
Okay. If everybody is in agreement, do you have a motion?
I move that we approve the minutes of the previous meeting consent agenda.
Motion has been made by Councilman Porter to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
It has been seconded by Councilwoman Marroquin. All those in favor? 4-0. Unanimous. Okay, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. And that is concerning increasing the collection station monthly fee due to the high accumulation of transfer materials over the last 4 years, sponsored by Ron.
Okay. A little bit of change in the night for two reasons. I'm not going to ask you for any decision tonight, but I do want to get you informed. One was due to a conversation I had with Gilbert, saying he'd like to be here and with Dad being down. And number two, a conversation Commissioner Martinez and I had, and I'll go over that a little bit later. So, but I do want to get you all the general information and tell you what our situation is. The rates for disposal are contained in Article 13, in the Petersburg Code of Ordinances, and I've highlighted two things on there.
I'll take one.
Which is the fee and when the fee was last set or touched. So the fee is $2 a month for residential, $3.25 commercial, added on to the water bill, and that fee was adopted September 11th, 2013. Now, I prepared a worksheet, but I revised it just a little bit, so I'm going to hand you a new one. Made things a little bit clearer, maybe. And then also you received pictures in your packets. Up in the top left-hand corner is the date that the picture was taken. This is off Google Earth. The only error was on the one that I had, December 17th, was actually October 17th. And what you will notice from, if you go all the way back to the first one from 2011, there wasn't very much there. You can see on the north edge of the drive going in, the tires. If you look at the last picture you have from, it's marked December 17th, if you'll notice, that tire pile has not gotten very much larger. For a long time, we had residents who traded from the pile. Their tires got bad, they'd go out, they'd throw them in, they'd take another set and mount them up. So I think that's part of the reason why we haven't had an enormous amount of tires, which are some landfills' huge problems. That's not ours. Ours is an accumulation. And the reason, if you look at the last two photographs, the 17 photograph and the 16 photograph, you can see that the amount almost quadrupled. I've taken a little ruler and looked at the trash bin and a measurement, and you've got what looks to me, we've got about 225 loads there right now. That's what it's accumulating. Now, part of the issue comes from the fact that I had mentioned this to council several years ago when council wanted the town to come back. When we push the button in town, we end up with it out there. And that's good. We've got to accomplish what we wanted to get accomplished. It's that we have some other issues, which I'll go over here. Off the top of the worksheet that I gave you, you'll see in the first 4 years, 14, 15, 16, 17, we collected $44,313.56 and we paid out $47,623 just for the haulers. Doesn't count any of our labor to load them. Doesn't count any electricity out there or anything. That's just for hauling fees. If you will remember also when Ron Coomer was here a month ago, he wants to raise the transport fee another $15 a load, and he's going to be back in, I think, February.
Yes.
To ask you to do that. And the landfill had gone up in price on him in the interim before he came back. All right, so we've, on average, taken out 29 loads a year. Now, that's based on a $410 cost per load. So it's about a little over $220 for the material cost of the landfill and $200 for transporting, roughly. The pile has increased, I think, about 8.3 loads a month on average during that 20-month period between 2016-2017, as I've measured. Or, in other words, it's increased at the rate of about 100 more than we're taking out every year. We're taking out 29, and in the last 20 months, that pile's been increasing at the rate of 100 a year. What I can't tell you is it going to keep increasing at that rate, coming at us at that rate? I think we've done a pretty good cleanup in town. We'll still stay aggressive with that, but it's in one part, it's hard for me to imagine. There's still that much more in town that I haven't got out here yet. But another thing that happens is this pile increased from the grant homes. A lot of stuff that moves out, we don't want to turn that on the house itself. Contractors have been put away. And we are still honoring to anybody in town that you're going to remodel a house, tear a house down, you're going to clean a house out, we'll bring you a dumpster. Because it's the same cost to have a home to your house as it is from out there. And we don't have to locate it. So. total loads, therefore, at the rate it's been going, as opposed to get out of there every year, stay low. This is 129 a year, rough estimate. So we not only have to look at what the rate is at that level, but also what do we do to reduce the pile that's there. We've got to stop increasing and start reducing over some period of time. And I wanted to bring this to you and have this discussion because at some point TCEQ is going to catch us and whack us. And if when that happens, I can say, whoa, wait a minute. Council has adopted X, and we are trying to get three times more out, whatever, we're trying to have it reduced by this point. I think we can buy some time. So if we know that we were taking out 29, 100 accumulating, the next portion of this worksheet is, okay, if I truly do have 22 loads in the current pile, how many more loads do I have to add to that each year to reduce that pile? And it's whether you want to take 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years to do it. 5 years, I say that it'd be 44 more per year. So we would be taking out 129 plus 44 or 173 loads. Our problem has not been that we can't load the dumpsters. We can load the dumpsters. But I've had to stay within the budget and the money that we're collecting to do it, to haul them off. And we have, and I've been a little over by about $3,000 from what we've collected. So down at the bottom, I said, well, to do 129 a year means the monthly rate needs to be about $10.04 instead of the $2. Then if you want to take all the remaining and get it out in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, I've given you that cost, to come down to a bottom line of where you need to be. Now, I have maybe some good news. In a conversation with Councilman Martinez, we may be able to get some assistance from the county. And so I'm going to ask you to continue this until next meeting, giving the commissioner and I time to sit down and see if we can figure out where the county can help us here and reduce the burden that we're going to put directly on the citizen to get rid of this. But we are licensed only as a transfer station. We are not licensed as a landfill. We've got to get it out of there. How much they would let us keep accumulating before they really whacked us, I don't know. I'm getting fearful of where we're at. And I wish I could tell you that, but I don't have the answer to that. Commissioner, yes.
The reason that I brought this up is that for the last 24 years when we sit down in budget, I have a line item in my budget where we give money to Abernathy for that landfill. And I've always known that one day, you know, we may be at that point. And as soon as you talked to me about what was on the agenda, I thought, well, now's the time to bring it. But, you know, we do help Abernathy, the city of Abernathy. The landfill is in my precinct, so I think it's fair if I go address to the commissioners and the judge. I feel like we might bring some money this way and help with this problem.
Is there any idea how much? I mean, just a rough guess, possibly.
Right now, we're giving Abernathy about $10,000.
Okay.
To help them with their, and that's the same way to remove the dumpsters from there.
That's equivalent to 25 loads.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me ask you
more than we got out this year.
Can I ask you another question?
Sure.
And I don't know that this is for all of you. If we looked at this budget he's got right here for us to do this, on a two-year basis, it's going to raise the price to $16.30.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a chance, because, if you haven't been out there, you don't have no idea about this picture, what it looks like. If you haven't been out there. I was out there today.
Yeah,
and I mean, the road is just pretty narrow. And up there by the stuff. Is there a chance if we went to the two-year plan and did that, and after it got cleaned up, lower the price back down.
Oh, absolutely. Now, here's the other thing to think of. Let's say we got some assistance from the county, plus we raised their rate up, and it doesn't come in at the extra 100 loads a year that it's been coming in the last 20 months, then we're going to see our pile start going down quicker. And then yes, we can
raise. I mean, I know we put the fence up out there at the cemetery so people wouldn't have to see it. But I guarantee you, if you drive in the cemetery, you can still see the pile over the fence. And the residents on the out there, they can look out there and see it, you know. I mean, you know, they don't want to see that either. But that's why I'm asking. I mean, I'm just bringing that up for suggestion.
Now, while the commissioner was so kind to let us know what they may be able to do, one of the things we know, I know we have county residents bringing material in. We can't stop it. I mean, we can't afford to put spend $30,000 on employee with benefits and out there and man the gate 24/7. Just not going to work, or even when we're open. So I know we're assisting and helping the county by having it come in there, and we're bearing some of the costs that the county is not having to deal with.
And in the past, the county did have a city cleanup where we did bear some of that cost.
Mm-hmm.
Where we would haul off the tires, and that'd be a big chunk of money. But so it's not the first time we're going to spend tax dollars doing that for the city of Phoenix. So if we go out at it about the right way, you know, I really believe that we can help. Now, there can be different ways we can help. We just have to find out the best.
And I think that if we put our heads together with the county, we can keep our fees low for our residents. And I mean, we might see a slight increase, but when, to me, going from $10.40 to $16 or $18, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Well,
we're at two dollars.
Let me ask this question. If we don't do something, and it's TCQ comes in, they shut us down.
Shut us down
and fine us. So we've got to do something. And okay, if we're working, got a plan working, and they do come in, and they agree to the plan, we're okay.
Well, here's the point. I've already crossed the hurdle. If they walked in the door tomorrow, I said, wait a minute, I just took this to the council. The county's offered to work with this. Just okay. Give it a little chance, see what we can work out, and try and negotiate. What TCQ, Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, is about, don't you dare thumb your nose at me. Thumb your nose at me, and we'll just whack the heck out of you. Mm-hmm. If you are showing them, look, we have a plan, we can do...
Okay.
The biggest thing I'd be is, I would look at TCQ and say, I guarantee you we will take out any load brought in this year and reduce some. The question is, how long will you give us to reduce this pile? Can you come check us every 6 months? See if it's looking like we're reducing, look at the picture for you, whatever. And we might be able to buy ourselves some breathing.
Well, the reason I said what I did a little ago about raising it that much, if they did shut it down, then what are residents going to do?
I don't know.
I mean, if they shut us down,
it's going to end up back
in the ditches. It's going to be in the yards, it's going to be in the ditches, it's going to left the county pick up, because then nobody's going to haul it off to
Abernathy
or nowhere else. Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as the TCQ will work with us, I will go with it.
The load to Abernathy.
The lower deal.
I don't either.
Because if you get out there, I swear, every resident in this town bought a new mattress.
That's what we said.
And
yeah.
A new sofa, and most of them TVs in the last 2 years.
I've never seen so many mattresses.
Uh-huh.
And even though we have the TVs telling them to stick them in the dumpster, they take them out there.
That, and I did see tons of seed sacks and things that I know are associated with farming. And I know our farmers don't bring them to town and put them in there, you know. I know we're getting a lot of that. I mean, it's really obvious that people are using it that don't contribute any.
Or do contribute. Let's say it's commercial. Let's say it was coming out of the co-op. It's $3.25 a month.
That's not enough. It's just not enough.
The good thing is we're getting it in the right spot. Now what we have to do is resolve the problem getting it out of there.
I say let's work with the county on that and see if we can stay as low as we can. And not get in trouble because I don't want it messing up the town. And I don't want to mess up the county. I mean, you drive into Petersburg, you want it to be clean.
Well, I do too, but you
know
what?
People are going to start dumping it in the ditches if we can't put it out there. So
we've kind of hit our community a lot recently.
We have.
Yeah.
With increases that we've had, and I want us to be, you know, careful about what we do on that. It's easy to sit here and say, well, let's just do another $5 here and another $4 there and another $5 here. And then we have people who are on restricted incomes and don't have that kind of thing. So I think we have to be very conscious about what we do on how we spend our money and how we get more money to be able to spend. And it is a problem out there. I mean, it looks like you've moved to the mountains, the mountains of debris.
We could open up ski slopes.
Well, that's amazing when you look at the picture of just in 6 years from 2011, what we have done.
It's ridiculous.
How deep does that go? I mean, by this picture, I really can't tell how deep that
is. Those piles are about 8 feet.
I mean, I know it's about, but how deep that way? South
those
from
pictures,
the road.
Those pictures give you
well, right here.
How deep is that? Probably about 60, 80 feet.
About 40.
I don't know.
Because we even I even drove
you
all the way
around. You drove
around
it. I haven't done that yet, so
we did
that's
do
why
that.
I was asking.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see what was on this backside, and it's so
I just afraid to drive all the way in there. I didn't want a flat tire.
Miss Warren, get them every time we drive in. You get them.
What I would like to see happen is myself and Ron visit with Judge Coleman, and just see how we could start. Get involved, you know,
want to do that. I think that's
with revenue and maybe possible labor,
manpower,
machines. You know,
I would go for that. Yeah,
just
see, the other thing to think about what Commissioner's saying is if TC couldn't come out and say, wait a minute, we're working with the county too to get this worked out. That political help aids us with TCQ. Because I assume you haven't thumbed your nose in.
I haven't.
I don't want to raise the price any much more than what have to.
Day,
but,
he got,
you
he
know.
Let's say what?
He's seen Ford. He got.
There's your bump.
Bump. TC.
Yeah.
Ooh, really?
Mm-hmm. I saw that out there.
What for?
Something.
For that dump site they have.
Washer and dryer.
For the dump site?
No.
Just the precinct dump site?
Yeah.
Washer and dryer.
It's just north of the barn.
Is it worse than ours?
Oh, no. So when I saw that, I thought it better. Okay, Susie, we need to probably sit
down.
Did
you hear that? He said that the commission precinct 4 just got whacked by TCQ.
Oh, yeah.
For their
old dump sites.
Really?
Where they dumped their oil. Yeah,
we need to get something down there. You know.
Okay, so I would ask you, if the council, to continue to the next council meeting in February.
Do we need to just table
Take a motion to continue to February
13th. I make a motion that we table this and continue it at February
13th. I'll second it.
Has been made by Councilman Bourne to table and continue this discussion on this item, and it has been seconded by Councilman Mullinex. All those in favor? 4-0, motion carries.
The next item was in front of that one. I have them reversed.
Which one did we have? Okay. You mean as far as
in the packets.
The next item will be do I even have it on there? Item 6 on the agenda, and it is discussion action concerning updating the prohibited date for certain structures being brought into the city of Petersburg. Prohibited date was last set 17 years ago with the adoption of Ordinance 248F, and this discussion is sponsored by Ron.
Okay, so a few weeks ago, a person contacted Kayla and says, I'm going to bring in a mobile home. Is there anything I need to comply with? Kayla comes to me. I looked it up. I give you what we have. Okay? which is that section of the code ordinances that the only prohibition is the mobile home had to be newer than June 15th, 1976. Making it, what, 39 years. This got moved in, which you have a picture of, and my phone rang. How could you let this in? And I have pretty color pictures for you. So I said, well,
I see it every day.
I can make sure.
Yeah, it should be on your way to work sometimes.
Yeah, I see that.
Always on the way to church.
I don't have to look at it in color.
So, well, kind of, for part of a reason. The ordinance only addresses the age that we have. And I'll first attack it and then tell you how I'd like to correct it. And notice that ordinance was adopted October 2nd, 2000. Now, if they were saying it could be up to 24 years old when they adopted this ordinance, my research doesn't tell me why they picked that time period. But if you just updated it to 17 years since the ordinance was put in the book, that would make it 1993, but they would still be 4 years old. So the question I have, the council, I have an ordinance prepared, but I make it the date whatever we want, is to think about here for a moment whether or not you want to stay at 24 years old, or you want to bring that date a little forward. The other thing is, when you look at the picture, the siding on this mobile home is in serious problems around. There's some roofing on the other side that was missing. So I added a section and put into a revised ordinance that says the siding, the windows, the exterior doors, and the roofing must be fully attached and in good condition. I have to subsequently add a due process provision, for lack of a better word for you, that if somebody says, well, I think it's in good condition, and I say, no, it's not, we invite you up to counsel. You will become the judge and jury at that point to make that decision. But I've added it in for this section of the ordinance so I don't run up against it before I get a chance to figure out a hearing scenario, etc., of how to do it if somebody disagrees. But I just want you to know we had no other choice because we only have one thing to do. So, the ordinance I have drafted for you tonight takes that date to 1993.
Can I interrupt for a second before I lose my train of thought? Mm-hmm. So, is this... is someone living in this home, or was it just brought in?
It was brought in. It's on a rental lot. Jesse gave them to a lot different mobile homes.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Different person owns the mobile home.
Okay, the land. Okay. Lot.
And I know that Isaac was working on this. He's calling the issues on it. So they're not in there yet living now. So,
is there not, though, I'm sorry, Juan, sure, is there not any other ordinance, though, that would come in play based off of the yes, or, you know, because as we can see, this could be a hazard to, you know, winds blowing. Is there not anything else?
Let me give you a couple of examples.
No,
there's
okay.
Not. Go down canal, mm-hmm. and you'll see a house with nothing but tar paper on it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I can't do anything with that. I have nothing in an ordinance anywhere to make them side the house. You could go right over here and look at a mobile home, walk or so away. The roof's all messed up. I have no authority, no ordinance that says I can go in and start telling people your roof has got to look good, your siding's got to look good. I got none of that.
But those are on actual structures. This being a mobile, but it's movable, there's nothing.
Not currently in our books, no.
But legal, I mean, any other.
Okay, your uniform building codes and all of that only address permanent structures, not mobile homes. There is a approval that all mobile home manufacturers have to get from FHA and FHA rules, separate from your national building codes. Okay. So you're on a different code structure than what? Then you have a problem. They move them in. What do you do? Well, all this town has ever wanted to do was just say, well, as long as they're a certain age. Now, I'm trying to impose just a little bit into this ordinance by saying the siding, windows, doors, and roof must be fully attached and in good condition.
And so there is no professional inspection of any of these structures.
Not a lot. There would be as if they tapped the sewer or they tapped the water or we did gas, we would have an inspection.
The structure, there's no professional inspection.
And because all of the utility type things already are set there.
They're already there.
Because there have been residences there before.
Correct.
So it's already set for all the plumbing and... Mm-hmm.
And you know it gets tough. So you look at the siding, you look at the siding, and you say, "Well, it's attached, but it's cracked between. It's not painted. The paint's peeling." Even for me to say in good condition, that's going a little bit beyond condition. That's going to appearance. I go in and say, "Well, I see rotted pieces of siding. You got to replace that and attach a good piece." But let's say they went every other piece that was damaged and put in a new one, painted beige. All right. Well, once they do that, I can't say anything. You can't force people under our ordinances to paint their house.
Right.
You can't tell them what color to paint, whether to paint it at all. You could maybe say, "Okay, from a health." Safety and walker standpoint, that siding needs to be attached so it doesn't blow off of the wind.
How about even as a fire hazard? Because I
don't think TJ has anything in the books that can say that doesn't work.
Because we got houses. And to me, it's a fire hazard.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
We got houses worse than this fire hazard. Think of the one down East First and between I and J, it's behind the mobile home. That was the person that was in the hospital and in Mexico for a while. Oh, that one is a horrible fire.
Jenny's large neighbor.
Horrible fire.
Or even over by office.
Yeah. Yes, the Martinez.
So do bigger cities, is it the same law across the board depending on the city or town? Or because like in Lubbock, and I'm not 100% sure, but don't they condemn homes that they are not?
I'll give you an example. I was a real estate developer. I'd create a subdivision. No mobile homes allowed, period, in the story. Or the city would zone certain areas of town and say, no mobiles there. They could only be over here in this area of town.
Right, but my question is the condemning of a home. Is that local? Is that city, state?
It is state law, and there has been several big lawsuits. Latest one decided out of Dallas on what you can force people to do to their property. And you got to remember, Texas is a big property rights state. So it didn't end up well. I think the city of Dallas did not end up well for Dallas. But what they did, they got a bank of lawyers to fight it. So most cities have shied away from that, although some of them still proceed under, usually you see it proceeding under a fire hazard, under health, safety, or welfare, or under a rat-infested, rodent problem. But then to take the next step, you can, first of all, you can fine them, cite them, but taking the next step to destroy that home, you really better be right.
Could we have not bought time on this, though? I mean...
Somebody walks in, I have to answer the question. Do you have anything regulating mobile homes? Yes, we do. Here's what we have.
So, do we have restriction, like in the area where we have more structures, do we have a restriction that says you cannot move a mobile home into this area?
That falls under what you would call zoning, and this town has no zoning. You have no zoning, no subdivision. Now, every town I'm used to being from, we had zoning, we had subdivision. Now, even beyond that, you'll see it in Lubbock, you have communities, and the communities have a homeowners association, right, which puts a whole nother layer of requirements in. You think you want to paint your house blue?
No.
Not when everyone's earth tone in the subdivision, yeah, you will paint it. And earth tone will tell you what color. You bring it to us and we'll have to prove it.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
From the time that y'all received the call about this, mm-hmm, about this, how long was that before the actual trailer was moved in?
Do you know? 2 days. They called me, they asked me, and I told them that it was a year restriction. We were looking it up. She called me back about an hour later. I told her we looked it up, and it was 1976, and she said, good, mine's an 82 or 84, and 2 days later it was...
Could we have not, and I'm just, you know, legally, could we have not called a special meeting, or, well, you wouldn't have known what the trailer house, but you would have known that it was at 82. 82, 18, and 17, that's 35 years old.
I don't think we could have passed an ordinance fast enough,
and it'd be retroactive. It's already here.
Right.
Well, no, I was talking before that time.
No.
Okay. But I got to tell you, when Kayla come back with the question, they wanted to know what the ordinance was. I wasn't expecting this. I can't
tell
you what
I was expecting. Well, I mean, 35 years, I would have.
Well, we didn't know the age at the time.
No, she told her.
Well, she called and asked me, did you find the year? And I said, yes, it was 1976. She said, good, this one's 82.
We didn't know what it was,
and I thought, okay, she's not going to bring something.
So at the minimum, what I have for you tonight is you tell me the date, i.e. the age, and I want to add, as I said, the provision that is, find my ordinance here. You should have had copies
right
of the ordinance.
So
there.
The ordinance is this one here.
Yes.
Well, I add in that no structure that is permitted under A, meaning even though it works for a number of years old, it will not be allowed if the exterior siding is not intact and in good condition, being fully attached to the structure. If all roofing material is not intact and in good condition, being fully attached. All windows are not in place in a good working order, and the all exterior doors are not in place in a good working order and condition. So I at least want to get that in place. Then I could have said, let me see your trailer. Okay? And I'd say, no, that roof's not good enough, the siding's not good enough, etc. Now, they may say, well, yeah, but this is over in Lorenzo. How are you going to look at it in Lorenzo?
I will drive out there.
That's what I would have to do. And just say, okay. Well, I may put my mark on it or see the serial number, so if it's brought in town, I know it's one and the same one that I just came over and looked at. But I didn't even have that, you know, to be able to say.
I guess just because of my past experiences. I mean, I know you were trying to do the best of answering, Kaylin, and that's fine. But to me, it's 35 years we should have had a... I mean, just, and I'm just talking, bought a little bit of time and said, you know, I'm going to look it up, or I don't know. And y'all did the best you could with what you had.
I'm sure that in the last 35 years, we haven't had somebody move in any structures that were in this condition. Most people that do come into this town, they will bring in a new structure.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, we've had two, three that have come in.
Honestly, the lady got called. Her property is very nice. It's very well kept. She keeps it very clean. The landscaping is very nice. I did not expect... not that there was anything I could do about it.
Right. And like I said, we haven't had to visit that, this ordinance. Because normally, people, when they bring in something, they're going to bring in something new. Or not that old. Or it's... probably something that they've already lived in and it's only a few years old.
You know, one thing we might do, and this is just, and I know it probably is very time consuming, but periodically, I think we need to review our ordinances, you know, and look at dates. I mean, I think that would benefit us, and because, you know, of course, like you said, that maybe had not come up in however many years. There might be another ordinance out there with a 1970 or 60 date or whatnot. I think as a city, as a council, I think, and I'm sure there's tons of ordinances out there, but things that don't come up often enough, I think those are the ones that we need to be looking at.
When I first came here, this was already 14 years old, 13 years. And add that to the age of trailer they allowed. Mm-hmm. That they allowed a 37-year-old trailer. Now, I must tell you that we were, my impression, especially with you, was anything was allowed in this town. We're not going to restrict. We're not going to tell people what they can and they can't do. And that's been a heavy issue since I've been here, whether it's I'm going to come clean up that yard, you're going to mow those weeds so we don't have a fire hazard or a rodent problem, let alone you step off and start telling them you're going to do this to your house. The councils that I've had did not want to go that far.
Here's my concern. If we are, as a council and a community, a city, interested in building up our town, and if we are expecting the growth that has been projected for a possibility for us, we need to, as a council, take some time to do, I'm agreeing with Rosa, some revisions on some things that we know. I know we can't go back and revise every ordinance that we have, but those that might pertain to new builds, move-ins, anything that, like that that might help and increase the values of the homes that are here and increase the number of people that live in Petersburg. I think that should be part of what our focus is.
But the health and safety of the people.
Yes, because this worries me about black mold. I mean, I worry about hazardous things that might be coming in here. And no, I don't live right there. But if I lived next door, I would be concerned.
I would be very upset.
And very I think upset. That's our job, is to represent our whole community. It is our job to do that.
And I want to come back and address Rosa for a moment. So when I saw this particular date, and I've read it in the past, we didn't have any issue to deal with it. I asked Kayla to put the tickler up for me. So every January, it says, pay attention to this date. Do you want to ask council if they want to change it? Now, what I subsequently thought of doing was going through and seeing if I could put together a every January ordinance that says, here's all of our rates and fees, here's all of our dates in our ordinances, would you like to change any of these? And it's an annual review. But I first got to isolate them, out.
So you had seen this one before, then?
This ordinance?
The ordinance before.
Sure, but when I looked at it, Rosette, I said, 24 years old, it fit with what I was hearing. Well, I'm not going to step on anybody's toes to force them to do anything. Because think about that. You pass an ordinance today to regulate trailers, mobile homes, and you're going to let anyone that's 24 years old in? I don't know what the thinking was, and I'm not being critical. I don't know what they were attempting to regulate. But it couldn't have been... It was age, but boy, they were very liberal, because mobile homes do not hold up after 24 years to be in very good shape normally. Yet I've been in some retirement communities in Arizona where they got a 25-year-old mobile home sitting in there with a screened-in porch, and they look great. Still in good condition.
And I'm not trying to just down what you're saying. I understand that. But I think at some point when we come across something like that and it threw a red flag and you were already thinking
you know, what the 24 years, what, and I'm not, you know, sure. And I understand, as a manager, I understand that. But I think that if a red flag or something kind of pops up, I think that's when it needs to be brought to our attention. This upsets me just because of the fact that how many years ago did we go through homes asking them to remove old vehicles and bought, and then we get something like this. That's kind of a slap in the face for all these people that we asked to remove, and we still ask to remove unnecessary or unattracted stuff from their property.
You're actually a guest, though, I want you to consider this. Mm-hmm. How much attack I was put under for enforcing just that.
I started to say, what you better remember? All y'all better remember this. Mm-hmm. I got ousted off the council over this very thing. I got beat off the council because all of you, and I'm saying you out there, once we started the cleanup deal, you said that sorry SOB that y'all hired as a city manager, that sorry SOB, all he's doing, you can't park backwards anymore. You can't do this, you can't do that. All we started doing was this, right?
Trying to enforce.
That's well, it. I can say that was not me. I'm not including one of those.
You know, and the funny thing is, Rosa, it's not anybody now. When you talk to anybody, it wasn't me. I wasn't the one.
I remember everybody
screamed, and guess who got the big brunt of all that? And I kept saying over and over, one thing y'all need to do, blame the council. Don't blame the city manager. He can't do one thing without the council fellow. Not one thing. But he was getting 90% of the blame. And I sat and listened to it till I absolutely wanted to throw up. Because everybody said he doesn't know what he's doing. He's out there making us do things we've never had to do before, and all we ever started to do to start out with was to stop this kind of stuff right here. And it went so wildfire that I guarantee you, I got ousted and was proud to death that I was off of it. I was tickled to death.
And Rosa, I have a moniker that I wear proudly called Big City, and it came up again. The ordinance we adopted for what I thought was coming as an RV park, which was going to give you 100 of these.
That's right.
And caught crap again. Because, no, it ought to be, they can just put anything in. I've lived in too many of them when I was out with construction crews taking out railroads. I know what these places look like. I know how they end up as landfills. And I could just envisioning that happening either initially with construction or shortly thereafter when the construction was over and somebody says, well, I got to make some money off this, so I'll bring in every piece of crap as a rental. I'll put it in there as a rental, so now you even get a worse tenant. So I appreciate that. Okay, I've been aggressive. That RV ordinance saved us in time.
And again, it's just my two cents,
I would love to go down the condemnation route. But this town doesn't have enough money to buy the legal resources and go start condemning houses, tearing them down.
Well, here's the thing. Now we know. Mm-hmm. So now we fix, so we don't have to do that again.
Right.
You know, and
add a little bit more to it than condition.
Right. Yes. Right. Yes, I agree totally.
That will make this facility. Can anything that will make this facility meet any kind of code?
Right. So let me give you. Well, right now it's just the exterior condition. But let me ask you another question. So they painted this up. The siding looked nice. The doors looked nice. Still happy?
No.
When you look at this picture, what are you not happy?
Skirting.
About? There you go.
Yeah. Skirting needs to be there.
Okay. Now, I can tell you.
They could just blow away.
Well, and a lot of them will come in and say, fine, and they'll put plastic skirting on. And you got some over here on one, and then it gets damaged, and then they don't repair it. Mm-hmm. But we could force, for example, in the ordinance, and you'd adopt this one tonight, and I can come back and amend it, and we add skirting as a provision. And we can just keep adding to it as you think of something. But I would want to see it skirted.
Mm-hmm. Now, so the question, so once we pass this ordinance,
at least
they will have to abide, even though They won't have to.
It's now going to be from this day forward.
Okay. It doesn't go retro.
You
can't pass retro.
Okay, I've lived in one of these. When we first married, where we lived. We lived in one of those. Everybody probably did. Mm-hmm. But we had regulations on skirting, mm-hmm. on outbuildings. I think that may be a thing that we need to address, too. Do you have to have driveway access? Do we have some kind of restriction on how many outbuildings they could put to that? Are we going to allow them to build onto that 5 years from now?
Okay, so...
And then what do we get into there?
I'm going to answer a few of those questions.
Okay.
I was upset about somebody that wanted to buy a piece of junk house the county had and attach it onto the other one because the one they're going to attach it to is as bad a shape as the one they're going to get. Okay. I see that issue in town and nobody wanting to regulate that at all. That's getting real touchy to say, okay, well, if I want to live in a house that has tar paper on the side, as an example, or I want to live in a house that has partial siding, no balance of siding, that's my God-given right out. I'd be able to do that. And I would ask you, what's your response to that?
That's true. As we are right now.
Is that how you would want it to be as a council going forward? That's the tough question.
And I understand that. You know, my home, the siding's bad and I've painted and it's peeling. And so I understand, you know, and that is a touchy because if a person is not able to do it. I mean,
it's
I know that.
Area.
That is very touchy area.
See, in the RV setting, I would add one more thing if you really want to get there. Tie downs. And that's for the health, safety, and welfare of those residents mm-hmm. plus whoever that can blow into.
Yes.
Okay. But if you give me the direction that you want to be more regulatory, I can certainly find the ordinances and piece them together to make it more of a hammer.
Okay. I think we need to start with, right now, revising the year.
Mm-hmm. I think too.
We start there. Then we think on whether
and
we
condition
want to,
of sight
and condition.
Right, and condition of sight. And then we have to think about, do we really want to get into regulating people's homes that, you know, not just this kind of structure, but our more stable structure. Because then that's what's going to eventually we will end up going into.
Let's see, Brandon's perfect example brought in a modular. His company tied it down, skirted it, everything. You're going to see that out of the new ones. You're not necessarily going to see that when somebody's moving one in. Yes.
The tie-downs are safety features that every home should have.
Well, if the lender's involved, they're going to want to make sure everything has been done.
Brandon?
Can I add something?
Yes, sir.
You know, whenever the reason I brought mine in, you know, for, you know, we didn't have very much housing here. But I went a step further when I brought my house in. I asked them, can you put a different type of skirting on there? Because I didn't want the plastic stuff. Because I know over time, it does deteriorate. You do get holes in from the hailstorms. You do get holes in from weeding, edging, I mean, everything. That's why I wanted that particular skirting put on. Because when you put that skirting on, you're able to paint the house every 5 years and make it look just as good as it was then. That was my whole point of my madness doing that.
Yeah. Okay. Is there a consensus among the council as to how old of a structure you would want to allow? The revision in this ordinance took it to 1993, which makes it 24 years old. Would you like to live with that date or change that date to a newer date?
I'm almost thinking nothing older than 2000.
Well, that's
because
what
that would already make it 17
years
17
old
years, yes.
Right now. Mm-hmm. Now, if you move forward from now, that same house is 18, 19, before you know it, it's 2024.
Another 20 years.
And it's another 20 years. And so then do we go back and revise again? You know, I'm sure we do, but mm-hmm. what we need to stop and consider is, you know.
And really, Susie, to put a good focus on what you're just saying, if we had some way of being able to look at how at trailers that are 15 years old, mm-hmm. just look at them somewhere. Yeah.
Because
15 years to see how they have dilapidated over time in different places, and I think it would affect all of our.
Not every 15-year-old house is going to look the same as another 15-year-old.
Well, it's depending on how many times it's been moved.
How many times it's been? I don't know how you get a value.
It's more individual than it is.
It's not a universal thing.
It is more individual. Yeah. That's what I'm sitting here thinking. When you really start talking about this, there are trailers that are 10 years old that are gone. They're useless.
Right.
There are also people that have kept them for 20 years. So I don't know how you put back to your question, Ron. You know, how do we put an intelligible year date? Or do you even want a date? Wouldn't you be better off with some kind of description?
I would like at least a date. And I'd like it updated. No, I'd like at least a 1993, but I agree with the mayor. Let's take a shot at 2000. So now it's 17 years old. I'm getting a better chance each year you bring that forward that mobile's in better shape.
I mean, that's up to you as the council to.
Because I have to think about my 1955 new moon when I was in college in 1968. I was 13 years old. I remember the condition it was in.
Here's the thing. Structures should be more soundly built in the last 20 years or in the last 18 years than they were in 1976 because restrictions, governmental restrictions on codes that had to be met should have changed some. And FHA, their restrictions are really picky.
Right. And I want to ask one other qualifying question here. Whatever date we adopt here tonight to start, would that also, in your mind, be applying to any trailer brought into an RV park?
It would in mine.
It would in mine.
Okay.
Question.
Yes.
And I'm still, you're going to have to beat a dead horse with, I don't know what. So on B, on the exception, and I'm still looking at what we have on the ordinance.
And I'm sorry, B.
B, section B on the exception. And I might be just reading this incorrectly.
Whoa.
This
okay.
is the old.
Exception.
The, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When it says, prior to the section shall not apply to structures transported into the city prior to its effective date and which do not constitute a public nuisance as provided by the city's structure standards code.
Okay.
So what are our standards? Do we have something that
what
shows
is
that?
What is the definition of the city's structural standards code? Don't have a clue. Made up language that they put in here. We have Universal Building Code, or National Building, National Plumbing, National Electrical. That was just adopted right before I got here. That do not cover mobile homes.
So nowhere. There's not a city structural that we have anywhere.
No such animal. But you know what, Rosa? Somebody drafted this. If they picked it up off a website or another city, and said, sounds good, let's get something here. Okay, I can't tell you, and I'm not being critical. I don't mean to be critical.
No, you're fine.
But that means nothing. I can't enforce it.
And what constitutes a public nuisance?
That's up to you as a council when they finally disagree with me. For example, I say somebody's weeds are too tall, the pile of garbage needs to be gone. It's a public nuisance. We declare it. Brandon needs the ticket. They go to the judge. If they don't like the judge, we're coming to you.
Okay.
That's the due process side. People have a right to come argue with another governing body as to that declaration.
Okay.
So any building official you have, I halfway service that here, my decision alone can't be the only decision. You got to have an appeal body you can go to and say, wait a minute, Ron's nuts today. This looks great. And then another. other body that's independent determine it. But let me take a stab at this ordinance, a motion for this ordinance for the moment. And that would be move to approve ordinance 348SM with the date in section 3.03.001 small a in parens to be June 15th, 2000. You're following that so far?
I was. Go ahead.
Okay. And you move to adopt the ordinance, and the section, which you, I think we're reading out of the code, 3.03.001A, the date in said section be changed to June 15th, 2000, instead of in the current draft motion of June 15th, 1993.
Yeah, because right now you have it as 1993.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And that the city manager be instructed to bring you a revised amended ordinance at the next council meeting that includes that it is applicable to any mobile home or trailer brought into the RV park under that ordinance, and that we put in the ordinance that this date in section A shall be automatically increased each year on January 1 by 1 year.
Yes.
So
then that
updates. So
that it's self-updated.
It's self-updated. That's good. Sounds nice. Smart.
Would somebody
so
like
does does everybody understand what the ordinance, the intention of the ordinance is going to be right now?
Somebody like to make that motion.
So
I don't know what he said. Okay, so where was the
you
one?
Can just you can say so moved.
I so move.
I'll second.
Okay, it has been a motion by Councilwoman Horn to accept the drafted ordinance of.
One question. I'm sorry.
No,
can
ahead.
I interrupt you?
Go ahead.
This, the size of the. And I am picking. But the size where it says 8 body feet or more in width or 40 body feet or more in length, mm-hmm. Is that the normality of, is that like a normal size? Like yours, Brandon? Because this one looks really long. I'm
well,
just
wondering. Here's what they were trying to do. They were trying to eliminate RVs.
Oh, okay.
Because you see the self-propelled?
Mm-hmm.
That's what that it's not self-propelled.
Okay.
So it's not an RV, and gotcha. It has to be at least 8 feet wide and
no more than
and 40 long or more.
Or more.
Or more. Or more. Or more. Or more. I gotcha. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry.
Now, I tell you where that does, Rosa, come into play currently. Just watch now housing trends have changed. Think of tiny homes now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They are mobile. They're not self-propelled. Those dimensions, though, would be mm-hmm. totally goofy.
Right.
But my work.
So would that fit if someone wanted to come with a tiny house?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet. I just did think about it.
I know we have a lot coming in communities around us. There's one between here and Plainview. Mm-hmm. Spur has a big
Big little homes.
See, and I tell you how a lot of some of that's addressed. In zoning, typically, you will have a minimum square footage for the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
If it's a single story or if it's a two-story.
Right.
And they would probably, under most zoning laws, the tiny houses are zoned out. They're probably either going to RV parks or the city has where you can apply for a mother-in-law apartment or an additional structure mm-hmm. on the property, and, mm-hmm. and they go through a special hearing, and they may be allowed or disallowed depending on what it looks like. It's probably how they're being handled. Unless somebody has already, in the last year or two when they got popular, written ordinances.
A subdivision for.
Yeah. Subdivision rules, zoning rules. And
that. That's a possibility.
Some of them look really nice.
They are nice.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Nicer than what I lived in college. Yes.
Okay, so back to the ordinance.
Nancy,
we
are,
We had a motion and a second, second by Rosa, Councilwoman Marroquin. All those in favor to adopt the ordinance as so stated by Ron Hagemeyer are in favor. 4-0, motion carries. And Ron, you will get us an updated for the next council meeting?
Yes. I don't think we're going to have one before now.
Well.
Oh, wait, we had one other thing, didn't we?
Number seven.
And I've lost my, yes, thank you. It's stuck in the middle of the pile here. Okay, number seven on the agenda is action, discussion action concerning placing city-owned property located at 1512 Avenue O up for bid and setting a minimum bid, sponsored by Ron.
Okay, Kayla was approached by an individual saying, would the city be interested in selling the lot? The way we've done this in the past, we've advertised for bids so everybody had the opportunity to take a shot at it. This particular lot is owned outright by the city. We have no other jurisdictions involved in that. It was given to the city, and then the city paid, and the lot is right here.
Yeah.
The city paid, I think we ended up $1,500 total to have the house torn down. So I would suggest to the council if they are...
Where Jack Higgins used to live.
Yeah, okay.
If the city is under the... city council is under the direction to me to, yes, put it up for bid, I'd like you to put a minimum bid on it because we got some money in it. And so we did $1,500 just on that. We've mowed and maintained it, I would say, at least $2,000 if you want to go more time.
I mean, it's an empty lot.
It's an empty lot.
Yes.
The regular size lot. 50 by
100. It's pretty sad.
I don't know the dimensions.
It's the south 110 foot feet of block 21 of the Black Edition.
What was my lot number? Block 21.
Block 21.
21.
Most of them are 9.
Yeah.
Daddy.
So it's 110, it's 40 feet.
The lot is 110 by 140, so it's 1,540 square feet.
That is big.
That's a big lot.
I have it right here.
So the whole lot. 110 by 140.
Yeah, that's a big lot.
It's a really big lot.
That is big.
And the 140 is from East First, the alley going towards Main. The depth is 140.
Right. Well, that's a big lot, though.
Now, I wasn't suggesting two as a price, just nothing right. Less than that. If you want to sell it, if you want to hold on to it, that's fine.
I think they're wanting that for a put a home on, or yeah. You? They just wanted it to buy it.
Probably another mobile.
They said they had a house to bring in.
Oh. I'm going to suggest let's
table this till next time.
Till we get all this ordinance passed.
Table to a future undetermined date.
Yes.
Yeah. Table to a future undetermined date.
I agree.
And the problem is, we don't want to be known for this, that they could just start bringing the crap other towns and yes. Somehow push it out.
You want to take a motion to table it?
We want to take, do I hear a motion?
I motion to table.
Okay. For your
undetermined date.
Okay, it has been motioned by Councilman
Marroquin,
and it has been seconded by Councilman Porter to table this to an undetermined date. All those in favor? 4-0, motion carries. And with that being the last item on the agenda, I don't guess there's any further discussion. It is 8:10, and I call this meeting adjourned.
Home, James.
Oh, yeah.